Well, welcome to the, I think we're calling this the third Sunday of stewardship season. And we'll get there. But first, I want to talk about the gospel reading for today. We have been reading over the last several weeks the story, which comes from Matthew's gospel, chapter 21 and 22, of the when Jesus finally got to Jerusalem just before his death. And so what happened, he had his triumphal entry, which today we call Palm Sunday. And then the very next day, we pick up the story. Jesus is in the temple, and he has overturned the tables of the money changers. He's healed a few people, and then he started to preach. And right away, the religious authorities, that is, the priests, the high priest, the scribes, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the religious lawyers, they were all there, and they started to contend with him. In that exchange, we heard the parable of the two sons and the parable of the wicked tenants and the parable of the wedding banquet, and then how Jesus silenced those same religious authorities on the question of paying taxes to Caesar. So that's where we've been. Finally, the religious authorities, they get one last question. They're still trying to trick him. It's their last shot. And so one of them, a lawyer, asks Jesus the question again to test him. He said, "Teacher, which commandment in the law is the greatest?" Remember that the Hebrew scriptures, which we sometimes call the Old Testament, there are all kinds of commandments. We usually just think of the ten, right? The Ten Commandments. But the Old Testament counts, if you can believe it, 613 commandments. 613. The only way that I can remember that every year is that's my birthday. 613. That is a lot of commandments. So it's a fair question, right? Which one is the greatest? And again, it's supposed to be a trick, but Jesus, he's done with tricks. He answers them plainly. He said, "The greatest commandment is this. You shall love the Lord your God with your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment." But Jesus was not done, right? He asked, that is, the lawyer asked, which is the greatest one? Jesus said, let me do one better. If you like, this is a BOGO of commandments. He continued, "A second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments, then, hang all the law and the prophets," the whole Old Testament. It's all about love. This is one of the most important verses in the whole Bible, and Jesus is saying that everything in the Bible starts with love. The challenge for us is that we routinely misunderstand the word love in English, because in English, the word love is very imprecise, right? If I say, I love you to my wife, who's here, love you. If I say, I love you to my wife, it could mean something romantic. If I say, I love you to my kids or my parents or my siblings, that means something a little bit different. And if I say to the guys in the men's Bible study breakfast, I love you guys, that means something different as well. The word love really does not give us any help in understanding this commandment. The interpretive challenge is illustrated best, I think, by C.S. Lewis in his book, The Four Loves. Anybody read that? The Four Loves? In ancient Greek and Hebrew and Aramaic, which are the three languages of the Bible, there wasn't a single love, a single word to convey the word love. So, for instance, take the ancient Greek word for love called eros. Eros. Eros was the word for love, but it was it meant romantic love, accompanied by physical desire. Storge, on the other hand, is love, but it's affectionate love between family members. And philia, is the love of a friend, somebody, an equal, right, with warm regard and maybe a little bit of loyalty, right? So those are three different words for love in the ancient Greek. And with apologies to C.S. Lewis, there are at least five other kinds of love that we won't talk about. The point is, Jesus said that the two greatest commandments are to love God and to love each other, both love. But we have to ask the question then, which love are we talking about then? Eros, storge, philia? Well, the answer is when Jesus is talking about love as the greatest commandment, he's talking about agape. Agape. If anybody, you know that word, agape? It is an ancient Greek word, which means love, yes, but it's more than that. Agape is unconditional love. That, and this is a quote, but I can't remember who wrote it. It is, agape is unconditional love that transcends and persists regardless of circumstance. It is seeking, this love is seeking the best for others. Agape is the love that God uses to love us. Agape. It is the love that flows between God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And in the two times in the Bible where God is actually described as love, right? God is love. Both times, he's talking about agape love. It is the self-sacrificing love of God for humanity made real in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That same agape was the love that the first Christians were committed to imitating in Jesus and to reciprocating and practicing among themselves. That kind of love is the love of these two great commandments, agape. Love God, love each other. And while we might now have an understanding or a better understanding of what kind of love we're talking about, make no mistake, that kind of love, agape love, is not easy. Which brings me back to stewardship, at least in a way. To live a life of agape is a challenge. Let's not be glib about it. To live a life of agape is a challenge. To love God unconditionally, it's a challenge. To love neighbors unconditionally, it's a challenge. Because that means that we have to love every single person unconditionally, especially those who are hardest to love. Right? That's agape, and that's the reason the church exists, or should. At least that's why Christ Church in Pontevedra exists, to be a church of agape, of unconditional love, to be a training ground for agape, for self-giving love. That's the reason Christ Church exists, to be a training ground for unconditional love, right? It's work. It's good work, but it's work, and it takes a lifetime. Sadly, there are no shortage of churches who do not practice agape, churches that lead with sin and hell and death, and never get to the unconditional love part, the unconditional part of love, right? Churches of exclusion, but not at Christ Church. We lead with love, with agape. We do what we do starts and finishes with unconditional love. We don't purport to have all of the answers, but to live the questions with each other in love, where everyone is truly included. We are a church that delights in diversity and inclusion, just like Jesus. And that is simply, that church is worth a pledge. That church is worth a gift. That church is worth supporting. And it all starts with love. Amen.